And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is how things will be. My first guest was diagnosed with vascular cancer in the lining of the blood vessels in her liver and her lungs. We discussed the lifestyle changes she made to become a cancer survivor and her latest book, Crazy Sexy Diet. My next guest is Professor Emeritus at the Haas School of Business at UC Berkeley, and he's also part of Profit, a global brand and marketing consulting company that is on the forefront of branding issues. We're going to discuss creating product offerings that are so innovative they make the competition irrelevant from his latest book, Brand Relevance. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 805-639-0008. David Acker is the Vice Chairman of Profit Brand Strategy. He's also Professor Emeritus of Marketing Strategy at the Haas School of Business at the UC Berkeley, and he's an advisor to Dentsu Incorporated. David is the winner of 3 career awards for his contributions to the strategy and science of marketing. The 3 awards are the Paul Converse Award, the VJ Mahajan Award, and the Buck Weaver Award. David was named as one of the top five most influential people in marketing and business in the year 2007. He's published over 100 articles and 14 books. His latest book is titled Brand Relevance, Making Competitors Irrelevant. Welcome to the show, David. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, and thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brand. I guess the first place to start is take us through your theory of brand relevance, if you will, please.
Well, it really fits your theme today. I really have found through looking at empirical studies that most companies are engaged in what I call brand preference competition. So they're spending marketing and doing incremental innovation to beat their competitors. And that's just basically a losing game. If you look through history, when you get sales increases, when you get profits that's healthy, it's because they've invented new categories or subcategories. And when they do that, they make competitors really irrelevant for a time. It might be 6 months. In the case of the Chrysler minivan, it was 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge payoff.
Okay, so the idea is to create a different brand or sub-brand that will make the competition irrelevant. Obviously, the premise behind that is you need to differentiate or die, but differentiating a product isn't as important as communicating that difference, is it?
No, and everybody wants to differentiate, but you have to make a distinction between sort of trying to, again, getting a small difference that will increase brand preference than actually creating a new subcategory or subcategory like iPod did, like Prius has done, like IKEA has done. So anyway, it's really an important difference because the word differentiation can apply to both brand preference and brand relevance competition. But yes, you're exactly right. Marketers are hardwired to build their brand, but in this case, they have to also build the new subcategory or category. Somebody just came out with chocolate milk with vodka, an adult beverage.
No.
So that's a new subcategory, and so you've got to not talk about you've got the best chocolate milk with vodka. You've got to talk about why that new subcategory is something you should consider. It's a very different communication task.
They are. And let's get into some specific examples and some specific products, if we can, please, David. And the first one that comes to mind, you've already mentioned it, is Apple with the invention of the iPod. Hard to believe that goes all the way back to 2001 now. But Apple was not the first to have a digital music player based on a flash drive. In fact, they were the second or even the third to have it. Theirs just happened to dominate the marketplace. The other two, among them was Dell, the other two didn't really promote theirs or advertise it or create a separate brand, and they have fallen by the wayside into the also-ran category. So talk to us a little bit about that, because Apple wasn't the first, but they were the best at marketing it. What, as a case study, what did they do well with the iPod?
Well, I was just talking about Steve Jobs on television yesterday. He's quite remarkable. He has 6 times in just over 10 years created a whole new subcategory, and iPod was one of them. Actually, Sony invented or developed and introduced an iPod or like device 2 years before Apple did. One of the things that Steve Jobs does not get credit for, I don't think, is his remarkable timing. The iPod was just at the right time when the technology was ready to deliver what he wanted it to deliver. And, of course, he has a design flair. He has a marketing flair. He has a credibility and visibility, so all that helps. But timing was really important. And these other MP3 players, you're right, they weren't very good at communicating, but they also had the timing wrong. They were too early, and the technology just wasn't there.
All right, two follow-on questions for that. First of all, was it the MP3 player, the iPod that Apple came out with, or was it the iTunes store that made iPod as successful as it is?
Well, it's all of the above. It was about six or seven things. Timing, the technology came together was crucial. So was the design flair that Jobs has, the beautiful design of the iPod and the elegant design. And then the iTunes was indispensable. That was one thing that Sony didn't have 2 years earlier. And so you're absolutely right. And then the visibility and credibility of Steve Jobs himself, the marketing ability of the Apple organization. So there was about six or seven things, all of which were indispensable.
All right, and another follow-on question on the subject of Apple, and then we'll change subjects here. But that is, Steve Jobs just announced that he's going out on medical leave. This is his second medical leave in the last 10 years or so. Every time he's come back off of medical leave, he's had a groundbreaking, revolutionary product. The first time it was the iPhone, and then the next time I believe it was the tablet, the iPad. Do you foresee any new brand announcements when Steve Jobs returns from this leave, medical leave of absence?
Well, I think if he's really only gone 6 months, the Apple new product process will chug ahead, and there will be introductions. If he's gone longer than that, you know, there's some question as to whether the organization can continue this remarkable performance without him.
Very true. We're talking to David Acker, everybody, author of the book Brand Relevance, Making Competitors Irrelevant, which is a great read. And I'm going to ask you at a higher level, if we can, David, are brands still important today?
Absolutely. In fact, they're more important than ever. What we're seeing today is a very fast-churning marketing environment. I mean, everybody's market is highly dynamic, and it's mostly driven by companies that are able to create new categories and subcategories, making some brands now less relevant than they were before. And so in this context, to have a brand that's flexible, to be able to adapt the brand, and to have a strong brand is really indispensable, because without a brand that has visibility and credibility within emerging and existing categories and subcategories, you're just out of luck.
All right. Well, let me ask you about brands, because some of the brands that we're familiar with, most familiar with, have been around for long periods of time. And you just talked about the churn, the fast-paced nature of brands. So when I think of brands, established brands, I think of Ivory Soap from Procter & Gamble, been around over 120 years. I think of Coca-Cola out of Atlanta, Georgia, been around nearly 100 years. To a lesser extent, of course, I think about the car companies, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. Each of them has been around for 80 years, 85 years. Of course, there's some question whether they will continue to be around. But the point is this, that brands, the long-lived brands, have had a long time to incubate, mature, and get to the point where they're long-lived brands. Do you, with this fast-paced world in which we live, do you see that changing?
The challenge with brands today, of Coke and Ivory and the established brands, the Marriott, the Caterpillars, is to create energy or maintain energy and visibility, because that's the challenge today. We know that throughout the whole world, brands everywhere are losing equity, and the exceptions to that are those brands that have energy. So I think that the big challenge for established brands is to maintain energy, and the way you do that is either to energize your business with new products and so on, or to find something with energy and attach it to the brand, like Avon did with the Walk for Breast Cancer.
Oh, now that's interesting. So they really got a lot of mileage, regenerated, got more energy because of their commitment to a charity, to a nonprofit, where it raised their level of awareness. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
It's a remarkable program, and of course, companies all over the world want to replicate that, and what they're finding is it's not so easy.
All right. Now, we had expert Kit Yarrow, who's an expert on Generation Y, on the show a couple of days ago, and she had an interesting, actually astounding fact for me. She said that in her research, Generation Y consumers are twice as likely to think about brands than their parents are. However, they think about them a little bit differently. So I'm going to ask you to think about, for the next generation consumers, brands along these four axes, if you will. Confidence, connection, choice, and something you've already mentioned, speed. How do brands that are going to be around for a while have to adopt those four things in order to remain relevant, not only to Generation Y, but to the rest of us consumers?
Well, I think that the main thing is energy. But number two in the list would be this connectedness. They have to be relevant. They have to have a connection to people, and especially if you want to be involved in the social media space, you have to have it has to become part of your life in some way, form, or manner.
Okay, we're talking to David Acker, everybody, author of the book Brand Relevance, Making Competitors Irrelevant. And David, you've been around branding for your entire career. What were some of the more remarkable findings that you discovered writing this book?
Well, it was really astounding to me to find that it's so futile to spend money marketing a brand in an established category. I studied the beer market in Japan, for example. And over a period of literally 40 or 50 years, the market share trajectory only changed four times, despite all the money that was spent by those beer marketers. And three of those times were when a new subcategory was created, either dry beer, Hapashu beer, or Ichiban beer. Or a fourth time was when some subcategories were repositioned. So just stark evidence. But you can look at the automobile category, the computer category, the soap category, anything, and the same phenomenon will arise. Anytime somebody creates a new or changes their market position, it's because they've created a new category or subcategory.
All right, well, let's talk about that, and let's use the auto industry since you brought it up, because that has some very interesting marketing dynamics. And let me just throw some products out there at you. The Toyota Prius, how has that created some buzz around Toyota and helped them to gain their market share?
Well, the Prius, of course, weren't first with a hybrid category. That was Honda in the U.S., but Prius became the early market leader and the exemplar of the category, and they grew to define the category around characteristics that Prius have, including design, including the technology that underlies it. And so the success of Toyota in the hybrid business is truly remarkable. They've been a dominant force, and it's because the Prius was able to take over market share leader from Honda and really become the exemplar of the category. An even more astounding thing is the Chrysler minivan came out in 1982, and for 16 years there was no viable competitor to it.
Yeah, that's true.
Which was truly an amazing thing, and it saved Chrysler.
It did. It helped to turn Chrysler around after we had bailed them out the first time, just in time to get them set up for us to bail them out the second time. Let me ask you about another car company that is now gone. That is Saturn, which was a division of General Motors. Talk to us about the brand relevance of Saturn, both when it came out and now that it is dead.
Well, Saturn was one of the great brand success stories of the 90s. And they had values, culture, they had quality in a U.S. car. People were so involved. They were so proud of owning a Saturn. They would have Saturn picnics. They would have Saturn reunions. And over 10 years, GM basically invested zero money in product development. If they would have given them a Honda Accord class car, the whole picture of General Motors would have changed. They would have been a viable competitor to Toyota and Honda, but they didn't. They gave it instead to Oldsmobile. And so they frittered away a wonderful brand asset and an incredible dealer base. It was the number one dealer service thing by a big margin.
And now it's gone. It's erstwhile. That's a shame. We're talking to David Acker, everybody. We're talking about brand relevance, his latest book. Let me throw another car brand at you that's not as well known here in the United States by many of my listeners, but certainly on a worldwide scale, this is a well-known brand, and that is Tata's Nano, their small car.
Yeah, that's, you know, every era it seems like there was a Volkswagen and the Bug and so on. There's always this people's car, and the Nano is a car that's going to sell. It's still selling for $2,200, and it was designed in India by Tata, and it's an incredible thing, and I think long-term it's going to do well, but they had some production follow-ups at the outset, and so they're at the moment kind of struggling with the introduction of the brand, but I think there's no question that long-term that's going to be a force. And Tata is a very remarkable and fine company.
Yeah, that it is. Let me throw one more car brand name at you and get your thoughts of their brand relevance. And this is also relatively new, Zipcar.
Yeah, Zipcar established a whole new category, and it focuses on urban dwellers and its value proposition. You don't need to own a car. You don't have to pay for parking. You don't have to pay for maintenance. You don't have to put up money. You just, when you need a car, you go to the local Zip yard and put your car in front of the window and it'll open and you drive it away and use it as long as you want.
That is great. We're talking to David Acker, everybody. His latest book is titled Brand Relevance, Making Competitors Irrelevant. David, what are some of the most important takeaways that you want readers to have from your book?
I think it's a whole new way of looking at markets. And it means you need to compete differently. You need to engage in what I call brand relevance competition, where you are not afraid to engage in substantial and transformational innovation to truly change what people buy.
And I think that it's great. It's a wonderful book, everybody. David Acker's Brand Relevance, Making Competitors Irrelevant. David, if people are hearing the sound of your voice, they like what you have to say, they want to learn more about what you've written, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, davidacker.com is my branding blog, and of course you can buy the book at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
That's davidacker, AAKER.com, where you can learn more about David Acker, and of course buy the book on Amazon, any of the bookstores, including Bank of Books right here in Ventura County. David, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We will talk to you down the road.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.